Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1026. Page 1026. There are two accounts of the birth of Jesus, one in Matthew's Gospel and the other is in Luke's Gospel. This one in Matthew's Gospel is more succinct than Luke. Luke gives a lot more details about different things that have happened. So our reading this morning is from Matthew's account, and then on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day we'll have the account from Luke. So this is the birth of Jesus according to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Might be a little bit confusing for us here because in our culture in this day, if someone's given a name, that's their name. You know, if it's Paul, then we know them by Paul. You know, if it's Susan, we know them by Susan. And yet in the Bible, when it talks about names, it's talking about how a name reflects the character of a person. I think sometimes we see that in our own culture and in our lives. I remember when Debbie and I were having our kids and we were going over names. We said, what about this one? I said, no, I can't have that one. I said, I knew somebody by that name when I was growing up and I hated them. You know, but think about it. There are certain names, aren't there, that just kind of, oh yeah, that person looks like whatever. And so names do tell us something about the character of that person. And that's what's happening here with Jesus. And so we see seemingly conflicting verses here. He says, you shall call his name Jesus, which in Hebrew is Yeshua, or God saves, or God is salvation. But also then we're told his name will be Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Actually, I was listening to a number of teachings about this, and one I thought was just somewhat interesting. Again, how the English versus the other languages just give a little different nuance in the meaning of some of these particular names. Emmanuel is made up of two root words, Emmanuel and El. Emmanuel is with us, and El is for God. So he is the with us God. And maybe it's the same, you know, God with us, or he is the with us God. It just gives a little different connotation, doesn't it? He is the with us God, Emmanuel. And certainly that was true in the person of Jesus. The God of the universe is with us. It has not always been that way. God with us. When God created Adam and Eve, God was with them in the garden. He would walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day. But then Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and so they were driven from the garden and also driven from the very presence of God. Well, from time to time, God would be with certain people for a certain period of time and for a certain purpose. The first one we see is Enoch. Enoch in Genesis 5, verse 24, we're told that Enoch walked with God just like Adam and Eve did. What an amazing thing. For that time, which was been the seventh generation, so we're talking, you know, quite a bit of time after that, the people must have been thinking, has God abandoned his people? Will ever anybody be able to walk with God again like Adam and Eve did? Well, here we have Enoch walked with God, and it says he was no more, for God took him. And so it is possible from time to time and for particular people to once again walk with God. Well, the next one we look at would be Moses. Remember when Moses was met by Jehovah at the burning bush? God told Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and I want you to lead my people out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Well, if you remember, Moses was not too keen on this idea. He tried to wiggle his way out of it, and maybe rightly so, because he was very much afraid. Pharaoh was very powerful, and the Egyptians were a very strong people. But God reassured Moses by telling him this. He says, but I will be with you. I will be with you. And so Moses was successful because God was with him. Well, after the death of Moses came Joshua. Joshua was chosen by God to lead his people into the promised land. But there was a problem. The promised land was already occupied by some very powerful groups of people living in very fortified cities. And so Joshua was afraid. Well, God told him, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He was afraid, and God says, I'm going to be with you. And so Joshua was successful. Well, in Judges chapter 6, verse 16, we see the story of Gideon. The Israelite people were under the oppression of the Midianites. The Midianites were a very powerful, very numerous people, very strong in army and military. And so God sends an angel to Gideon and says, Gideon, guess what? I've chosen you to lead my people from under the oppression of the Midianites. Well, Gideon too was very much afraid, and rightly so, because the Midianites were a very powerful and very numerous people. But God told Gideon, guess what? But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midians as one man. And Gideon was successful. And then there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 15 to 19, about the prophet Elisha. At that point, the people of Israel had an enemy next door in the king of Syria. And the Syrians would come and have raids upon the people of God, the Israelites. But the Israelites would know when the army was coming, and they would protect their food source or whatever. Well, the king of Syria got very upset by this and angry. He said, how is it that they know when we're going to do these raids? He said, there must be a spy among my group here. And one of the people said, no, it's not us. He said, they've got this prophet over there, and God tells him everything that we're going to be doing. And so the king says, all right, let's go get this guy. And so they go and they surround the city where Elijah was staying. And they wake up in the morning, Elijah and his servant, they look out, and here's this huge army of Syria surrounding the city. Well, the servant is really very, very afraid of this. And he looks out, and, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Elijah's just cool as could be. And he says to Elijah says to his servant, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now you might be thinking, the servant thinking of Elijah, saying, "Elijah, what have you been smoking lately? You see all this army around the city, and you're saying those who are with us are greater than those who are with them?" And so God prays, "God, please open the eyes of my servant and let him see what I am able to see." And with that, the servant's eyes were open. And what did he see? The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. The army of God showed up. The angels of the heavenly host showed up. And they were more than were the army of the Assyrians. And so Elijah was saved from his enemies. And then, of course, we have the story of Mary. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, we're told that when God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to announce the birth, the first thing that the angel said to Mary was, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." So we see this coming again and again. Mary was told, "The Lord is with you," and she believed. She believed. And so we have, there are mothers that I could have chosen, but Enoch, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Elisha, Mary, met with very big odds, fearful because of the things that were presenting them, the tasks ahead. And yet God's word was not, "I'm going to make it easy for you." His word was, "But I will be with you. I will be with you." Well, we're told that the last thing that Jesus told his disciples before he was ascended into heaven, he came in the person of a baby, Jesus of Nazareth. He lived among us, taught for 3 years, we believe, suffered, died, rose again. And before he was ascended into heaven, what did he tell his disciples? "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This was different. This was something new. This wasn't something of God saying to Gideon or Elisha, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there for this purpose and for this time. This is, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. I'm going to be with all of you until the end of the age." This was, in a sense, a new creation, a new beginning. It was kind of like it was with Adam and Eve, when they would daily walk with God in the cool of the day in the garden. And so, truly, the name of Jesus is appropriate, the name Emmanuel, because it is in the person of Jesus that God came and walked among us. It is in the person and spirit of Jesus, in fact, that God is with us today. And so when we are afraid, when we feel hopeless, when we think we're all alone, remember that he is the with us God. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." What comforting words. What comforting words. No matter what's going on in our lives, God is with us. Tim Keller said, "Christmas is about getting nearer to God." I think that's a good way to put it. But Paul said, if we're trying to get nearer to God, we need to realize he actually is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. If we're seeking God, we don't have to go very far. He's as near as the breath. He is not far from each one of us. And so we believe it, and we live every moment of our lives by that reality. No matter what we're being challenged by, no matter what our fears are, but no matter what God calls us to do, he's going to say, "I know you're going to be afraid. I know you're going to be concerned. I know what you're going through. You've got questions. But I give you this assurance. I am with you through it all. I am with you through it all." So what is the application of this teaching? What is the application? I think there's two parts of this we want to take and want to focus on this. And that's first, this promise, this assurance, this reality that God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you till the end of the age. Now, the second part that goes along with that, nothing is impossible for God. Do we understand the significance of those two statements? God is with you, and guess what? Nothing is impossible for Him. So if we're struggling with issues or we're asking God for things and it seems like He's not hearing us, He's not giving us what we want, what we're asking for, life continues to be such a struggle. If we cling to these two truths of Holy Scripture, God is with me and nothing is impossible with God. Therefore, if I'm asking for something and I'm not getting it right away, there's a reason. There's a reason. Either God is doing something in me, or equally powerful, I think, is that God is doing something through me for those who are around me. So often I hear people say, well, why is God doing this to me? Why is God putting me through this? And we tend to think it's just about me and God. But I've come to believe, as I've seen more and more the evidence of it, it maybe isn't about me, but what God wants to do through me to those who are around me, to use me as His witness, as His instrument of peace. I have a brother who's been suffering from a pain he's had for over 5 years. Had an operation, they cut some nerve or something. For over 5 years, he's been struggling with this pain. He takes, you know, all these drugs and things, and it's just horrible, and he knows it's horrible. And he can barely, you know, do anything without having this tremendous pain. It's almost a daily occurrence. And I just spoke with him last week, and I'm like, you know, how are you doing? How are you holding on? And his thought was, you know, as hard as it is, I keep thinking this could be one of my kids or one of my grandchildren. He said, I'd much rather it be me than one of my kids or one of my grandchildren. And I absolutely believe that his witness, the faith that he has, that as hard as it is, it's still God is doing something in it, absolutely must be transforming his whole family and his grandchildren as well. And I just think that's amazing stuff. How often we would say, we see someone suffering, say, oh, Lord, if it was, could only be me. Well, in some cases, maybe it is me. And what I'm going through is not for my sake, but for the sake of those who are around me. So I offer this to you, particularly in this Christmas time. Christmas is about getting near to God. He's not far away. But if we hang on these two truths of Holy Scripture, He is with us, and there's nothing that's impossible for Him. What a joy. What a joy for this Christmas. So my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. He is near. He is with us. And so the best truly is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. I invite other prayers and petitions now.